Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
All right, you got your Bible. Let's hold it up. Let's make our confession together. I tell you, this is the answer right here. The Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Amen, everybody? Give the Lord another shout, would you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep your shout. Don't let the devil steal your shout, because your shout will bring those walls of Jericho down, right? What is he talking about? Well, you have to do your homework. It's in the Old Testament. There was a city called Jericho. There were some walls in the way, and they shouted, and the walls got out of the way. Amen. Well, today I want to finish my series on how to overcome loneliness. Have I helped anybody this month? I hope I've helped you on loneliness. And the reason that we went this direction for this month, I told you that I went to the internet, typed up the most deadliest emotion right now, loneliness came up. Loneliness came up as the most deadliest emotion right now through COVID, coming out of COVID. And so we wanted to attack that villain. We wanted to attack that deadly emotion that leads to unhealthy habits, that leads to unhealthy habits. And so we've looked at it all month. If you haven't been with us, go to our archives on our website and check out each weekend on how to overcome loneliness. Next weekend, I begin a brand new series. Can you believe July's here already? In the month of July, we're going to talk about how to have unwavering faith. How to have unwavering faith. So keep that in your prayers. I believe it's going to be our best series yet, as you pray for me in Jesus' name. So today we want to conclude with how to overcome loneliness. Let's define it. The definition of loneliness is separation, isolation, rejection. Oxford Dictionary says no friends, no support. We went to the Bible, and the Bible definition of loneliness is an inner feeling of emptiness, an inner feeling of emptiness. People that you know in your family or friends or peers, those you work with, go to school with, that they're always feeling lonely. You can trace it all back to an emptiness on the inside, an emptiness on the inside. And the only thing or one that can fill that emptiness, can I say it, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can fill that void, that emptiness in our life. And that emptiness, if not filled with Christ, will produce unhealthy habits. It will produce a destructive life, a life that falls short of the destiny God has for it, an unhappy life. And so we want to look at that all month and conclude today on how do we overcome loneliness. So I'm going to give you up front the answer. How do you like that? Get the answer right up front, and we're going to talk about it, then I'll remind you. Here's how you overcome loneliness, that emptiness on the inside, that vacuum on the inside. Number one, through a relationship with God. A relationship with God. We said that intimacy will get rid of the emptiness, right? Intimacy with God. It's time for us. COVID was a timeout for us, a timeout. It was a timeout for us to restructure our life, to relook and refocus our priorities, to plug in to God and the church. It was a timeout. And so as right now in our life, it's so important then, I believe at Church on the Rock, we've all gone deeper in God. It's my confession. We've got closer to God. We've got more intimate with God. So intimacy gets rid of emptiness. So number one, a relationship with God. And if you don't have that, we can help you with that at Church on the Rock. We're not perfect, but we do have a process to help you get to know God, right? So a relationship with God. Number two, how I overcome loneliness is a relationship with His Word. A relationship with the Word. Pastor, I never thought about that. I never thought about us supposed to have a relationship with the Word. Yeah, it shouldn't just be on a desk. It shouldn't just be on my smartphone or my computer. It shouldn't be in the backseat of my car or truck or van. But we're to have a relationship with the Word of God. How can we get to know God if we don't get in His Word? My relationship with His Word determines my relationship with Him. I am not going to go to social media. I am not going to go, definitely not to the media. I'm not going to go to the world to find out what God's like because they have the wrong picture. Our picture of God determines the life that we live. Our picture of God. And where do we get the picture? From His Word. How do you overcome loneliness? A relationship with God. And we can help you with that. That's what I do. All right. Number two, a relationship with the Word. That's why on our website, we have a Bible reading plan. That's why we have small groups to help people. We go through the books of the Bible. That's why in Growth Track, we teach you how to have healthy habits of a mature Christian. We do everything we can to get you addicted to the Word. Because you have to have a relationship with the Word. That's huge. What does that mean? If I want a good relationship with Kim, my wife, I have to meet with her every day. It wouldn't work if I'd say, hon, I'll see you on Sunday. I mean, no, that wouldn't fly. She'd El Kabong me with a skillet, right? Well, how can I have a relationship with God if the only time I open the book is on Sunday? So, you know, 1 week without the Word makes 1 week. 1 week without the Word makes 1 week. I have to have a relationship with the Word. If you abide in Him and His Word, His Word, His Word, His Word, His Word abides in you, then ask what you want and you'll get it. I have to have a relationship with God. And number two, I have to have a relationship with His Word. I mean, how freaky would it be to get to heaven and not know anything about the Word and God? See, we won't stop learning when we get to heaven. We'll be learning throughout eternity because God is a creative God. So we're not going to just get to heaven and that's it. We're going to be learning throughout the ages of eternity. So thank God for you and Church on the Rock because we're lifelong learners. We're getting prepared for eternity every weekend here at Church on the Rock. Now, Church on Demand any day of the week. So I have to have a relationship with God that cures emptiness because He's there when everybody else isn't. Number two, I have to have a relationship with His Word because everything around us is changing, but His Word doesn't. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will endure forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but His Word will endure forever. Trends come, trends go, but thus saith the Lord is still thus saith the Lord. It is still the number one selling book in all of history, the Bible. It's different than any other book. It's anointed. And there's so many translations and paraphrases out there today. Thank God that all of us can understand it. All right, so I can't say I love God and not His Word. I can't say I love God and not His Word. So I overcome loneliness by the relationship with God. Number two, a relationship with the Word. And I just want to encourage you, get addicted to the Word. You say, Pastor, I really don't care for the Bible. Ask God to give you a desire. Ask God to give you a desire for it, and He will. Hang around me, and you'll get a desire for it, okay? Catch my anointing, and you'll get a hunger for the Word. All right? Be receptive to my anointing, and you'll love the Word like I love the Word. All right? So, number three. 3 points. How to overcome loneliness. Man, we can get done. Go have ice cream. Number three is build the relationships that God has given to you. The relationships in your life that God has given. Nurture them and build them. How to overcome loneliness. Number one, a relationship with God, work on it every day. Number two, a relationship with His Word, work on that every day. And number three, build and nurture the relationships God has placed in your life. The most important thing in life is not things, it's relationships. How do I know if I have a God, if I have a God-called, God-centered, God-picked relationship? We know that relationships determine the direction of our life. We know that our relationships put a lid on our life, or they bring out the best of our life, right? We know that our relationships determine our achievements. We know, show me my friends, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Birds of a feather flock together. Am I right? So we know that Proverbs 13:20, wise men walk with wise men, fools walk with fools. 1 Corinthians 15:33, that corrupt companions corrupt your life. We become like those we're around. We take on their habits. We take on their values, their philosophy. We take on their perspective. So it's so important then that we're selective on our relationships. So how do I get rid of loneliness? Because you can be in a crowd and still lonely, right? Or you can be have no one around you and not be lonely. Loneliness is emptiness on the inside. And so it's so important, a relationship with God, a relationship with His Word, and build and nurture the relationships that He's put in your life. Let me give you five words, start with the letter S. Now, don't take this off my preaching time because I haven't looked at a note yet, okay? Just teasing, all right? How do I know God sent this person into my life? Number one, they'll sacrifice for me. They will sacrifice for me. They will sacrifice for me. Number two, they will support you. They will support you. They will sacrifice for you. The Bible talks about a friend will lay down their life, a real friend, for their friends. There's no friend like Jesus, right? So a real friend from God, sent by God into your life, will sacrifice for you, and then they will support you. Am I right? They will support you, not only sacrifice and support you, but they will sharpen you. They will sharpen you. Iron sharpens iron. They will sharpen you. They will make you better, not bitter. They will bring you, your real friends should build your faith. We should have faith friends, friends that build our faith, friends that bring us to church, friends that connect us to a group, friends that get us involved, friends that cause us to get on fire, friends that bring us closer to Jesus, friends. Jesus is coming back real soon. Not the second coming, but the rapture, the catching of the church, real soon. So how do I get rid of loneliness, that empty feeling, is everyday work on my relationship with God. We can help you with that. That's what we do. Number two, build a relationship with the Word. We can help you with that. That's what we do. Number three is nurture and build the relationships God's put in your life. And you can discern them by they will sacrifice for you, they will support you, and they will what? Sharpen you. That's so important. They will sharpen you. And then number four, they will stick with you. They will stick with you. I like that. They will stick. Real friends will sacrifice. They'll support. They'll sharpen. They'll stick with you through thick and thin. They'll stick with you through COVID. They'll stick with you through thick and thin, no matter what comes, from glory to glory, from season to season, from chapter to chapter. You've had those people that said, I'm really behind you. And you look back, you said, you're so far behind me. I don't see you, amen. But thank God that we're having friends God's bringing into our life at Church on the Rock. Thank God for the ministries and the small groups, come on somebody, and the community and the different ministries. Thank God for our 4th of July parade. You know, you might be by yourself during the holiday, and you might say, man, all my family's out of town. I'm all alone. You don't have to be alone. Come out and join our outreach on the 4th of July parade. We have a blast, literally, fireworks. Okay, you're really rough today on Pastor, praise God. And then not only that, but they'll sacrifice, they'll support, they'll sharpen. There's one more. Oh, they'll share. They'll share with you. They'll share with you. They'll share with you. That's so important. That community, communing, that sharpening one another, encouraging one another, bringing the best out of one another, adding to one another, multiplying one another, building up one another. If we ever needed it, family, we need it now. I mean, don't waste your energy on conspiracy theories. Don't waste your energy on negativity. Don't waste your energy on social media. Don't waste your energy. Don't give that stuff real estate in your head. Don't give it real estate in your head. Don't spend all your time on social media and no time a relationship with the Word. Don't spend your time chasing down all these things that really don't matter, that really don't matter. Focus on what really matters. I was watching Evander Holyfield, and I've invited Evander to come and speak at one of our men's breakfasts next year. And Evander Holyfield was being interviewed by Tony Robbins. Okay, Tony Robbins. And he was interviewing Evander Holyfield, heavyweight champion of the world. And Evander said that 90% of the fight is between your ears. In boxing, he said, you can have an opponent that is stronger than you, a better boxer than you, but if they're not mentally stronger than you, he said, when they get hit, it's like Mike Tyson said. You know, Mike Tyson said, we all got a plan until we get hit in the face. Right? We all got a plan until we get smacked in the face. Right? And so Evander was telling Tony Robbins, he said, really, boxing, it's not about who is in the best shape physically, it's who is in the best shape mentally. Do you remember I talked to you about mental workouts? Do you remember that? So what am I saying? Be careful what real estate, what you're putting in your head, who you're listening to, who you're running with, what you're going after, where your energy is spent. We need to be about the master's business. We need to be winning souls. We need to have the main thing, the mission, lead people to a God who's for them, help them discover his purpose for their life. Come on, somebody. What should we be doing? Not getting high, not getting weird, not getting flaky, not chasing conspiracies, not doing stupid, nutty stuff. We should be about the Great Commission. Go into all the world and win souls. You're going to have a witness in the house, the Church on the Rock. Amen. So three ways on how we overcome loneliness. Number one is we overcome loneliness with a relationship with God. Wow, he gets sweeter every day, doesn't he? He really does. He really does. I love him more today than I did when I was 11 years old, when I gave my life to him. I love him way more today. To know him is to love him. If I don't love him, I don't know him. How do you get to love God? You get to know him. How do you get to know God? Number two, a relationship with the Word. We're to have an addiction to the Word of God. That's what feeds your spirit, is the Word of God. That's how faith comes, is hearing the Word of God. Then number three, every day, nurture and build those God-given relationships. Is that okay? I spent some time, but y'all got the answer already. So we're gonna move right through the scriptures today, if you'll allow me, and we're gonna pass right on that. I'm gonna give you a bunch of scriptures because you wanna build your house, your life on the rock. Okay, what does the Word say? Not what does the world say? It's crazy, and I've told you, it's gonna get crazier. It's gonna get crazier. Years ago, I was in São Paulo, Brazil, and I was preaching at a leadership conference there with this gentleman named Costa Dier. Costa Dier, Jewish man, head of Elam Bible College in New York City. This was way decades ago. We were invited to do a leadership conference there in São Paulo, Brazil, at an Assembly of God church. It had two balconies, 23,000 members. I'll never forget when I first met Costa, we were talking and I said, you know, Costa, what do you think is the most important trait that a leader needs in the last days? What is the most important trait that a leader, that a Christian needs in the last days? I'll never forget it. Decades ago, São Paulo, Brazil, he said this to me, discernment. Discernment. Be able to discern what's truth and what's not true. What's real, what's not real. Dr. Roy Hicks told me years ago, many of you know who he was. He's in heaven. He was one of our inner circle board members, dedicated a lot of the buildings around here. Dr. Roy Hicks. He said, it's going to get so bad in the last days. He said, the very elect will be deceived. It's going to get that bad. So you and I have to know how to discern the truth. My brother and sister, this is the truth. This is the truth. And this is the truth that will set you free. Amen? So let me give you some truth, okay? Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. We shouldn't fear COVID. We shouldn't fear a next wave, another wave. We shouldn't fear inflation, recession. We shouldn't fear what the world is afraid of. The Bible says we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. The Bible says that we're to do business until he comes back. Fear not, there's nothing to fear. Boy, that's a good prescription. I'll take the word over Walmart any day. Come on. Fear not, there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be discouraged, for I am your God. What's he talking about? Focus. I will strengthen you. I will harden you to the difficulties. I love that. I will harden you. We're all coming out better. We're all coming out stronger. I will harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. This is God's word for you and me today. This is a rhema word. I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up. Thank you, Jesus. I will hold you up, and I will retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. A lot of injustice, where there's coming a day, where justice will come. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nothing to fear. Hebrews 13:5. Faith comes by hearing. I want to build your faith up today. Hebrews 13:5. Let your character and moral disposition be free from the love of money, including lust, craving for earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. And God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you. I will not in any way fail you. Man will, but he won't. I will not in any way fail you, give you up, or leave you without support. What is loneliness where I feel like I have no support? I will not leave you without support. I will not. This is God talking. I will not. Third time. I will not. I think he wants us to get it. I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you hopeless. What is loneliness? Hopeless. In transition, rejection, opposition, persecution. I will not in any degree leave you hopeless or helpless or forsake you or let you down. So relax. He said, I will not relax my hold on you so you can relax. Assuredly not. This is the word of God. Verse 6. So we can take comfort. Everyone say comfort. I like that. We can take comfort and be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, this should be what we're saying. This should be our confession. This should be what we're declaring and decreeing. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper today. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? I like it. Deuteronomy 31:6. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic. This is God's word. Do not have panic attacks. Do not panic before them. How? Why? How? What? God, help. For the Lord your God will personally. He's a personal God. He's a right now God. He's an on time God. God will personally go ahead of you. He is going ahead of us. He said he'll personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor will he abandon you. Loneliness is the feeling of abandonment. Others may abandon us, but God will never abandon us. And what the world is afraid of, you are not to be afraid of. What the world is freaked out over, you are not to be freaked out over. What the world is panicking over, you are not to panic over. I like it, don't you? So the New Living Translation. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic, for the Lord your God will personally, everybody say personally. He will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you or abandon you. The Message. Be strong. Take courage. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought. Didn't I tell you earlier, beware what real estate you're putting between your ears, what you're listening to, what you're going after, what you're spending time on? Are you wasting your energy? Are you wasting your focus? He said, don't give it a second thought, because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down, nor will he ever leave you alone. Oh, can we have a praise break? Come on, can we give the Lord a praise? Ooh, I like it. Loneliness is a deadly emotion. I can control my emotions. Loneliness is a deadly emotion. I can control my emotions starting with what I am. Next page, guys, go ahead for me. What I'm saying. Really? Yeah, let's make it practical. Loneliness is a feeling. Loneliness is an emotion. Well, where does my emotions come from? My emotions come from what I'm believing. Yeah. What I'm believing about my situation creates my behavior. So my behavior or my emotions, I can trace them. I can track them back to what am I believing about the situation today. And what I'm believing is made up of what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking, I eventually begin to believe. And what I believe, I eventually begin to feel or behave. So if loneliness is a feeling, and it is, so I can control that feeling, but it all starts with what I'm saying. I don't get it, Pastor. Well, what I'm feeling is a result of what I'm believing. What I'm believing is a result of what I'm thinking. And what I'm thinking is a result of what I'm saying. So to control my emotions or to conquer loneliness, it all starts with what I'm saying. If I manage my mouth, I can manage my feelings. If I manage my mouth, I can manage my emotions. You saw, we read it earlier, where he said, don't be afraid. And then what did he say? Say this. Remember in the scriptures? He said, don't be afraid, don't panic, but say this. The Lord is my helper. I'm strong and of a good courage. It all starts controlling your and my fickle, freaky emotions. All starts with what I'm saying. So let's examine what have we been saying, and it will contribute. It is the source of what we're feeling. If we're feeling down, it's because we've been talking down. If we're feeling up, it's because we've been positive with our words. So it all starts with our saying. Everybody say, saying. If I can manage my mouth, I can manage my emotions. And loneliness is an emotion. So what should I be saying? Well, if God be for me, who can dare be against me? And none of these things will move me, because God is for me and God is with me. And what are you doing? You're beginning to change how you feel, because you're changing what you believe about your situation by changing what you're thinking, and you're changing what you're thinking because you're changing what you're saying. And right now, there's more negativity in the world than ever in my world. How about y'all? More negativity than ever before. So that means you and I are going to have to be more intentional about affirmation, confession, declaring, and speaking what God has said. If it's more negative than ever before, then our confession of 2 years ago won't get us through this year. We have to up our confession. Next page, guys. By believing, so saying, then we'll determine what I'm believing, saying and believing, and then that's how I begin to start changing my emotions and my life. Give you some scriptures. Mark 11:23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever shall what? Say unto this mountain. It's not a literal mountain. It's a metaphor of mountains in our life. A mountain of debt. A mountain of fear. A mountain of depression. A mountain of anxiety. A mountain of strife. A mountain of persecution. What are we supposed to do? Speak to it. Here's what I know. It's speaking to me. My mountains are speaking to me. 2 a.m. this morning, my mountains were speaking to me. Oh, yeah, if I lie, I fry. I woke up at 2 o'clock. Mountains were talking to me. And I wasn't going to just lay there and let the mountain, the problem, talk to me. I'm going to silence it by talking back. And I'm going to put God's word in my mouth, and it releases God's power in my presence. So say into the mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, that's wavering. Do not doubt, that's next month, but you shall believe. Notice, saying comes first, and then what? Believing. Saying, believing. What you're saying, you eventually begin to think. What you think, you eventually begin to believe. What you believe, you begin to act out. You behave. It's your emotions, and it's your feelings. So if I'm feeling freaky, it's because I'm talking freaky. If I'm feeling insecure, because I'm talking insecure. If I want to feel strong, I got to talk strong. If I want to feel secure, I got to talk secure. All right? So say it with me. It all starts with my saying. Joshua 1:8. But this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What you're saying. Where should the word be first if I want to change my life, my marriage, my kids, my job, my health, my future? It starts in my mouth. The world is more critical, sarcastic, and negative than ever before. So you and I are going to have to up our discipline, and y'all pray for me, okay? Up our discipline of managing our mouth. If we can manage our mouth, we can manage our emotions, our behavior. It all starts in our mouth. What are we saying over our future? What are we saying over our life? What are we saying over our church? What are we saying over our family? This book of law, keep it in your mouth and meditate on it. Have a habit. Get a relationship with the word of God as Isaiah comes out. Am I helping anybody? Look at this. Looky. Psalm 35:27, message. But those who want the best for me. Did you know God wants the best for you and me today? Let them have the last word, a glad shout. And let them say, we're supposed to say, once or twice. Look what the message says. Look at the board. Look at the screen. You're supposed to say it over and over and over. God is great. God is great. God is great. God's working everything together for good for me. When are you supposed to say it? Not just once on Sunday. Not just once every other day. You're supposed to say it as many times as you can think about it throughout every day of your life. We are to confess. We are to affirm. We're to declare over and over and over and over. And when we get tired, over and over and over and over. And what happens? You begin to think that way. You're transforming your mind, okay? And Evander said the 90% of the battle is in your mind. And so you're beginning to win the battle. Watch this now. The more I say it over, the quicker the process. The less I say it, the slower the process. The more I declare God's word, the quicker the change. The less I confess God's word, the slower the change. If I want to speed up change in my life, my marriage, my family, my children, then I need to up my confession of His word every day of my life. It will speed up the process. It will speed up the process. When you and I begin to declare what God has said over us to the mountain, you're putting pressure on the sickness. You're putting pressure on the lack. You're putting pressure on the strife. You're putting pressure on the loneliness. With your mouth, with your confession, you put pressure on your circumstances, forcing them. Job said in the book of Job, how forcible are your words? Our words have force. Our words have force. Our words have power. You can force things to change by saying what God has said about you, not the world, but the word. You say it over and over and over and over and over. Ice cream's waiting on us, and over and over. I'll tell the world how great and how good you are. I'll tell the world. Didn't we pray that at the prayer time for this summer? That you and I would tell the world. I'll tell the world how great, how good you are, God. When's the last time we told somebody God's a good God? God's a faithful God. I'll tell the world how great and how good you are. I'll shout hallelujah on Sunday. All day, oh my goodness, you fanatic. How many days? Every day. Over and over and over and over and over. Every day, all day. That's when it begins to bring the change. The less I confess the word, the slower the process. The more I confess the word, the quicker the process, and my life and circumstances will change. And I'll go from loneliness to abiding in His presence. I'll tell the world how great and how good you are, God. I'll shout hallelujah all day long, every single day. Takeaways, relationship with God. Number two, relationship with the word. Number three, build and nurture God-given relationships. I'm done. Did I help y'all? I sure do love y'all. Oh, I sure do love y'all. Glory to God. We're going to a good place because we have a good God. We have a faithful God. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Everybody here, drive-in church, online, VR, on vacation, thanks for taking us with you. You say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready for a relationship with God. I'm ready for a relationship with God. I don't want religion, Pastor, but I realize I'm empty. I've tried everything. Doesn't work. I want God. We can help you with that. Or, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but my priorities have got all whacked out during COVID. I don't want to resume my life. I want to reset my life. Don't want to resume my life. I want to reset my life. Pray for me, Pastor. I want to rededicate my life today. If that's you online, punch the button on your smartphone, your computer. You say, why? Faith is an act. You're not here. You can't come forward, but you need to do something. You need to tell somebody. In the room here, out in the lobby, over in the drive-in church, VR church, if that's you, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's going to bother you, but I just want to see who I'm praying for today, who's making the greatest decision you ever make. Pastor, that's me. Pray for me today, Pastor. Just lift your hand right where you're at. Just wave it at me, would you? Nobody's going to. God bless you. I sure love you. God bless you. God's for you. We're for you. We're in this together. You can put your hands down. Church, let's pray this prayer. All of us together. Let's pray it out loud. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life and do something great. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.